Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Praise God. Amen. Well, it's always a privilege to be able to preach. I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I believe that God's going to move tonight. Amen. So I want to ask if you turn over to Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to be preaching out of Joshua 24. Amen. I want to preach a message, and I just simply titled it, We Will Serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. It's a simple title, simple message tonight. I'm going to try to go a little bit quicker tonight so that we can, I want to take time and pray and give you an opportunity, as we do on Wednesday nights, to get down before God and pray and bring your needs before Him. And I believe this will be an encouragement to us. And in Joshua chapter 24, you probably know in the Bible that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt all the way back in Exodus. And we know the story probably that they're walking through the desert. It takes them 40 years. God promises them, I'm going to bring you to a land, the promised land, this good thing that I have for you. And we know that they took way longer to get there than they should have because of rebellion. They went through a lot of ups and downs with their relationship with God. And now here we are in Joshua 24. Moses has gone on to be with the Lord. Joshua is now in charge. And at this point, they've made it. They made it to the promised land, finally. They're being led by Joshua. All the land has been divided. Everybody kind of knows where they're going to go. And they're kind of all going to go their separate ways and go to wherever piece of land that God has given them. And this is towards the end of Joshua's life. So you have to think about what's going on. Their leader is getting close to the end of his life, and they're all about to kind of go their separate way. And Joshua decides to gather them up. And I want to read Joshua 24, 14 through 15. It says, "So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family," or in the New King James, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Tonight, I want to talk about this passage and what Joshua did and how we need to take from what Joshua did and understand this is what we do. This is what we're doing tonight on a Wednesday night when we get down to pray. This is what we're going to do tomorrow when we wake up. I don't know. I was telling Elena this morning, I don't know how many of you are coffee drinkers, but I got up this morning and I was so tired. I mean, I was out of it. And she kind of made a comment about it. What's wrong with you? And I told her, I was trying to explain because she's not a coffee drinker. And I told her, when I wake up, there's just hopelessness. I can't do it. There's too much expectation. I can't handle it. But as soon as I get that first sip of coffee, I'm okay now. Amen. But all jokes aside, sometimes you really do wake up with some hopelessness. You might be here tonight facing hopelessness in your life, but I want to tell you, when we make a stand before God, things change. And I just want to illustrate that. You know, Joshua gets before these people and takes a stand is really what he does. And whatever you're praying about tonight, when you bring it to God, when you just say, I'm going to choose to bring this to God, you're putting your faith in God and you're taking that stand. And there are a couple of things that happened as a result of this. And these are things that happen when you choose to take a stand with God. The first thing that I want to recognize in Joshua tonight is, before doing anything else, he brought them to a place of decision. He gathers all these people up. They're all about to go their own way, do their own thing. And he decides, before you guys go somewhere, we need to make a decision. He said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. He didn't know everything. He didn't know how it was all going to work out. Maybe they were going to go off and do exactly what God told them to do. But he'd been with them for a while. I think he probably knew there's going to be some issues coming up. So he said, before we go any further, you need to make a decision. And I think that's where we need to start tonight. I know there's people at all different walks of life. I recognize people here. You've been coming for years. Some of you, you might recently be saved. Maybe you're not saved tonight. I want to tell you, before you do anything else, you need to be brought to a decision to serve Jesus. And that's what we believe. That's what we're about here. Every service, we give an altar call and an opportunity for you to come to Jesus, because that's the first step. That's the first thing that we need to do. And anytime we're facing something in life, we don't have all the answers, but we know where to fall back on. Amen. We know that as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's our fallback. When you're saved, when you trust Jesus, you may not have all the answers, but you know where to fall back to. I don't have it, but hey, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You know, God doesn't always give us the full picture. You know, he gives us one step, usually. One step, and says, take that step and just trust me. And how many know, if we knew everything that was going on, if we had all the understanding of everything that's happening, we'd be in a bad place. I'll give you an example. Maybe you've said before, you know, I want to be a little bit more informed. I want to understand what's going on and be aware. I think I'm going to watch the news. Watch about one segment of the news, you're probably going to want to crawl into bed, and you'll be back in that pre-coffee hopeless place, right? Because if we knew, I mean, that's just one segment. If we know everything that's going on in the whole picture, I'm giving up, because I can't do it. And so God in his wisdom says, just take this step and obey that one. And so the first step was to say, we need to decide, do we serve Jesus? Amen. He does make that first step clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We come in and we say, God, what are you doing? I'm so confused. I don't know where to go, what decision to make. You know what? God is not the author of confusion. What's the step you need to take? And sometimes the only step is to say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. What, I may not have all the answers, but that's what I'm going to do. And tonight, I'm going to read some scriptures out of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to be turning over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we have to understand, in Ecclesiastes, this is Solomon. This is David's son, the same Solomon that God said, name what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. And he said, I want wisdom. And so God blesses Solomon. He is probably the wisest person that ever lived, really. I mean, this is Solomon that wrote Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. We get a lot of our wisdom from Solomon. Maybe you read Proverbs every day in your Bible reading, but in Ecclesiastes, this is Solomon looking over all the wisdom that he's accrued in his life. So this, to me, this is like gold. When I read Ecclesiastes, I think, I want to pay attention here. And Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, in the New Living, it says, and it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and good health to enjoy it. We can agree with that, right? Amen. God give us wealth and good health. That's probably what a lot of us are praying tonight. And it says, it's a good thing to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This indeed is a gift from God. And I just begin to kind of dive into this. When he's talking about work, how many work in some way? Amen. We've all got work to do. We've all got jobs. We've got families to take care of, bills to pay. We got to get food and all those things. But I believe what he's talking about here is keeping your joy in the work that God set before us. What is our work? What we're doing here tonight, to be people of prayer. What we're doing tomorrow, going out on outreach, sharing the gospel, and doing whatever it is that God has called you to do, that's the work that you need to keep your joy in. Amen. We don't grow weary in well-doing. That's what God is talking about. And then he says, He talks about accepting your lot in life. That doesn't mean that if you have a sickness or you have a problem, get over it and accept it. That's not what he's saying. What is our lot in life? Well, it's what I just talked about. Our lot in life is that we just don't know everything. We're finite. We only have so much understanding and so much capacity to understand. And so our lot in life is to say, God, I don't understand everything. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Maybe I don't understand everything, but I know the God that does. That's our lot in life. And our duty is to simply say, we will serve the Lord. That's the stand we take every day. Every decision that you make, every decision you face for or against God, our decision needs to be, God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to choose your way. And that's what he started with. And when we do that, look at what God gives us in the next verse, Ecclesiastes 5:20. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. Oh, God, put me in that place. I wrote that down when I read that. God, put me in that place. It doesn't mean you're never going to face a problem or that you're never going to have a hard time. What it means is if you put your faith in God, you'll still have joy in your life. And you'll be able to look back over your days and not look back in bitterness and not look back in regret. But you'll be able to say, you know what? Life wasn't perfect, but praise God. God's been good to me. And I'm grateful for that. If we live God's way, we won't have to look over our life in regret. So that's the first thing. The second thing that this stand that Joshua took enabled him to do is he was given the boldness to stand even if it was alone. Even if he was alone, it didn't matter to Joshua what everyone else did. His decision was not based on other people. Teens that are in school, young people, you're in school, you go to school with people that are not saved, we have to grasp this. Folks, you work in a job surrounded by ungodly people, we've got to grasp this. Amen. God gives us boldness to stand even if it's alone. Joshua was getting ready to let them all go off to their own land. And I guarantee you, he knew, because he'd been traveling with these people for 40 years, seeing all the mistakes, all the times God did something and they turned their back on him. I believe he was getting to a point where he was saying, listen, you need to stand for God, but I'll do it alone. He said, as for me and my house, basically, you know, you do what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what you're doing. In verse 15, he mentions the gods of their past, the gods of their ancestors. He said, are you going to choose to serve the gods of your ancestors? He's talking about the old way of living, what they were coming out of. You know, you're here tonight. Maybe you come out of a different religion. I know many here. Maybe you came out of Catholicism, Mormonism. Some of you were Wiccan. Some of you were wicked. Many of us were wicked, amen? Whatever you're coming out of, maybe, I mean, all of us here, we can honestly say we're coming out of a life of sin. Before we were saved, if you are saved, you made a lot of mistakes. And he was warning them. He was saying, before you go, you need to choose whether you're going to serve God. Because as you know, if we ever waver in our faith in God, the devil is so ready to bring that past back up. That past that we say, oh, I'm past that. God has set me free. And amen. If he has, praise God for that. The devil will still bring that past up. Because if you're not going for God, where else are you going to go? Your past is going to be there. And so he warned them about the past. Then he talks about the gods of the land that they're living in now. Joshua knew that all the people that lived in that promised land were not godly people. They served all kinds of different idols, different gods. They had different things going on than serving God. And so he was warning them that they were going to be confronted with other things by the people around them. Kind of like we are today, amen? Every day we're confronted by a world that does not agree with Jesus Christ, with a world that is in direct opposition to Jesus Christ. And many people in this life are looking for something. They're looking for truth. They're looking for the answer to their problems. But unfortunately, they're looking to the world. And I want to read this scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This scripture is telling you the last place you want to look for hope is the world. The last place you want to, the last thing you want to do is say, I don't know what to do. Let me do what everybody else is doing. That seems like a great idea. He said, don't conform to this world. Be transformed. That's what the power of God does, is he transforms you by the renewing of your mind. He gives you a new mind. You say, man, I want to be saved, but how am I going to avoid that old life? How am I going to withstand all the pressure of this world? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what God does. He gives you power. Amen. The Bible calls for us to be born again. That's what it means. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our focus has to be on God and on the supernatural, because that is what gives us boldness. How many can use some boldness when it comes to the things of God? I can. Amen. Every day. I want to read this passage. Pastor Jones gave me this devotional. It's called God is Faithful by David Wilkerson. And I just want to read a short passage from this. And there's a story in Acts chapter 4 where Peter and John pray over this beggar, and he's healed instantly. It's an amazing miracle. God does something great. And immediately they're arrested by the Jewish leaders. And I just want to read this. It says, Peter and John were arrested and met with the synagogue rulers. And I can assure you the religious leaders orchestrated it to be pomp and ceremony. First, the dignitaries solemnly took their velvety seats. Then the high priest's relatives filed to their seats. Finally, in a moment of hushed anticipation, the robed high priest strutted in. Everyone bowed as the priests passed by, walking stiffly up the aisle toward the seat of judgment. This was meant to intimidate Peter and John, but it did not work. The disciples had been with Jesus for too long. I imagine Peter thinking, come on, let's get this meeting started. Then give me the pulpit and turn me loose. I've got a word of God for this gathering. And in Acts chapter 4:8, it begins with, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. This tells me it was not going to be a quiet, reserved lecture. Peter was a Jesus-possessed man, bursting with the Holy Spirit. And likewise today, God's true servants are to stand boldly with gospel truth. His authority gives us boldness to preach before anyone, anytime, anywhere. That's the boldness that comes when you're willing to take a stand for God. He'll endue you with that boldness. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus to his face, basically. Denied Jesus. He wept. He failed Jesus over and over. There was a time Jesus called him Satan. I mean, he wasn't a perfect person. Amen. But he took a stand for God, and God gave him boldness to stand in front of the world. When we're the only ones, you might be the only one in your family who cares about God. You might feel like you're the only one in whatever circle of life you're in. I want to tell you, put your faith in God. Decide, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, even in that. And God will give you the boldness, even if you have to stand alone. Amen. The last thing, as I close here, Joshua knew that taking this stand, what happened when he took this stand? Why did he do this? These people finally made it to the promised land. They're going to go do what they're going to do. You might think, why did he even bother? Why should I even bother sharing the gospel? Joshua knew that taking this stand might inspire others to take that stand as well. That's what we do. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Amen. You might think tonight, what does it matter if I come on a Wednesday night? What does it matter if I join a small group? And if I do, what does it matter if I show up every week? Who cares if I'm at the men's discipleship at 5:30 in the morning? Does it really make a difference? I'm here to tell you, you may not even realize the difference that it makes. You may not realize who you're encouraging, who's watching you tonight, sitting in that seat, who's going to open their eyes during prayer and see you praying. And it's going to give them a spark to say, if that person can serve God, then so can I. Me and my family can serve God. Amen. That's what our call is to other people, to reach, teach, and send. That's pointed outwards. Amen. And so to be here tonight on a Wednesday night, praying to get up tomorrow and to do it again and to do it again. Part of why we do that is because we want to see other people do that. Amen. Your faithfulness might win somebody else. Pastor Jones has used a quote before, at the end of our obedience is someone else's salvation. Amen. Tonight, through your prayers, when we get down to pray, we are making the same statement that Joshua made. If you're here to pray, if you're here, I'm not saying you didn't come in with burdens or you didn't come in needing something from God, but the attitude of our heart in prayer is, God, here's my need. Here's everything I have. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And when we do that, we are making that stand in our walk with Christ. And it's important that we realize what we're doing. And I close with this scripture. Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Amen. The world is not our problem tonight. That's not what's attacking us, even if it feels like it. It says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, taking up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Sometimes a Wednesday night prayer service is exactly that. Having done all, stand. You say, hey, I've been praying for this need for a long time. I've been waiting on my child to receive Jesus for a long time. I've been dealing with this sickness, this issue, that issue for a long time. I've done everything I know to do. But tonight, God, I stand. Tonight, I'm going to serve you. As for me and my house, we're going to continue to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? As we close, I'm going to give us time to come before God on our own and pray. But before I do that, I want to give an opportunity. As I said before, the first thing we need to do before we can be bold, before we can trust in God at all, the first area we trust God with is our salvation. And the basic reason that Joshua said this is he knew that they needed to be saved. He said, choose this day who you're going to serve. Tonight, I want to bring us to a place of decision. Maybe you're here and you don't serve God. It doesn't matter if you prayed before. I'm saying right here, right now, you know you're not serving God. But you'd say, you know what? Tonight, I want to choose to put my life back in line with Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just allow me to pray for you all over this place. How many would say, I want to give my heart to Jesus tonight? I see these hands. God bless you, sir. Amen. How many more? You'd say, I know that my life is not right with God, but I see this opportunity and I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. Just quickly join these. Raise your hands. We're going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to open these altars to pray, take some time and get before God. This is prayer time between you and God. And whatever you're praying for tonight, come before God with that attitude. God, as for me and my house, through all this, we serve the Lord. We're going to take some time to pray. I'm going to pray with you, brother, if you'll come down in just a moment. And we'll come back together at the end. But let's take some time, find a place. We're not in a rush. It's still early. But let's get before God and let's pray together. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it and share it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach, and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.